The good.
The bad.
WTF.
Thinking.
Welcome back to episode 52 of The Good, The Bad, and the WTF Were They Thinking? And WTF were you thinking this week, Peter? How are you doing over there?
What was I thinking? Did I think something wrong?
You put me
on the spot there. Because you picked this movie, I didn't.
I did pick this movie. Before we go into the wonderful world of this amazing movie, we'll talk about what we've been up to this week. Mm-hmm. Anything you particularly watched? Anything that's caught your eye in the movie world?
A couple of things. I haven't seen the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I'll try and watch that next week. I like to watch them. I know they're terrible movies. And I've heard bad things about it. I've heard there's a good bus sequence. But I think there's sometimes we like junk movies. And there's things that we like to gravitas towards, and that's one for me. Anything like slasher related, even if I think, they're milking the fuck out of this franchise, I'm still there with my money in hand, saying, take it, please.
And this is on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a Netflix movie.
Why haven't I seen this? I've not been privy to this at all. This must have just completely passed me by somehow. Are the reviews good? The reviews look bad. The reviews look very bad.
It's basically what they've done is what they did with the Halloween movie, where this is a direct sequel to the original movie, so it disregards all the others.
Because it can't... Do you know why? That's because of lack of research. They can't be bothered to keep the current themes going. They just want to start a clean slate and not upset anyone.
Too convoluted. It doesn't make a lot of sense because he must be... I mean, 1974 was the original, so if it's today, Leatherface must be old. It's the same with Michael Myers. He must be old. How can he still be doing the same things he did in the 70s?
Yeah, the irony is Leatherface now doesn't have to wear a mask anymore because he is just naturally a Leatherface, isn't he?
Yeah.
At this point.
He's drunk a lot of moonshine during those long periods.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that would have a good diet, you know? I think he probably doesn't really have a skincare routine either. You know, these things aren't top of your list when you're a murderous man.
I mean, human flesh might have a lot of cholesterol in it because we eat a lot of bad food anyway. So yeah, maybe human meat is not good for you.
He probably smells as well, Mr. Leatherface.
He's not got a lot going for him. You can see why he went down the chainsaw massacre way.
You want to hang around with him anyway. You know, he's the kind of the guy at work who you know never goes for the after work beers and everyone's glad about that.
He's the kind of guy at work that wears somebody else's face and licks his lips and you go, that guy's just not right.
Oh, what, Jerry? Oh, Jerry. Jerry, man. He's always been like that.
Has he ever spoke to you? Because he only grunts. He only makes noises to me. What's going on with Jerry?
He doesn't complain. He just gets on with his job and then goes home when he has to go home.
Yeah, but where's Ralph? Jerry Lowe, man. Jerry and Ralph worked together last night. Where's Ralph? I haven't seen Ralph for a while.
Ralph's always sick. He's just a loser. He's always sick. Calling in sick every day.
Do
you know
what?
The guy on the other end of the phone, he puts on a fake voice. The guy on the other end of the phone doesn't even sound like Ralph anymore. It kind of sounds like Jerry.
And Jerry doesn't speak.
That's true, but it's the grunting.
Oh, yeah, the grunting. Are you okay, Ralph?
Anyway, we'll try and watch that movie,
but I did see I did see one movie that I was looking forward to called Another Round. It's a Danish movie. Have you heard of this one? It won an Oscar.
Another Round. It does ring a bell.
2020 came out in the bleakest movie history year ever. But it's an interesting movie because it's based on a theory which has actually been debunked. It's actually not proven theory, which did disappoint me because I thought I could live this life and. The theory is that if you maintain a blood alcohol level of 0.05%, you will live a happier life. Apparently, we have a deficit of 0.05% in our bodies. It's been disproven. Okay. This is not the case. Humans are not born with an alcohol blood level.
Okay.
But they try and maintain it. So what they do is they drink. They try and drink to maintain this 0.05% throughout the day, but they stop at 8 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
So from the moment they rise to 8 p.m., they drink. And then they up the level. They keep upping it. And it's a wonderful movie. I really love this movie. I do recommend it to you. And anyone who hasn't seen it, watch it. It's great.
Watch it. What's it on? Where can you watch it?
I saw it on Sky Cinema. I don't know where else you could find it.
Sky Cinema. Okay. That is available to me, so I shall jot it down. I will watch it. I will get to it. I didn't really watch anything this week. I don't think I watched a movie. I obviously watched the movie that we're about to talk about in a minute, but no, I haven't really watched a movie. What have I been watching? I watched been going down the TV series route. Obviously, I've continued watching Euphoria. Mm-hmm. Bit of a big fan of Euphoria. I've got high hopes for the director of Euphoria to be.
Who is the director?
The director of Euphoria is Mr. Sam Levinson. So he writes, he's written it.
Yeah.
I think he produces it.
Is it Malcolm and Marie? Did he do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. He did. There's a lot of. And that also had Zendaya in it as well, who's in. He's in Euphoria. Yeah, he created, he directs, he wrote, and he produces Euphoria. And I tell you what, it's one of those shows that it's like, it's the show that Riverdale thinks it is. You know, have you ever seen Riverdale?
No.
Yeah, the Euphoria is the show that Riverdale thinks it is. Now, it's dark. They touch on a lot of sensitive subjects. It's got some fantastic acting in it. And a lot of the actors are kind of, this is kind of like their big moment, you know. Some of these actors are very unknown actors, and this is kind of putting them on the map. But yeah, no, it's brilliant. And I think this director is going to be someone to watch out for in the future, Sam Levinson, because yeah, some of the directing and writing in Euphoria is top notch, very good. 37 years old, young director on the scene. Who's his dad? His dad is Barry Levinson,
great old director. Did Diner.
There you go. I didn't know Diner, that until just now.
Rayman, Good Morning Vietnam. Great director.
There you go. That's new information as I was just searching it live in the flesh right there.
There you go.
Wow. That's brilliant. So he's probably definitely someone to watch. I mean, he's got a good mentor, hasn't he, in Barry Levinson. So.
Just look at Jason Reitman. Ivan Reitman's son obviously recently passed away. Jason Reitman's doing a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of sons of directors who make interesting work. I did also happen to find an article. I did I relayed this article to you because I found it quite interesting, and it comes from Variety, and it's titled "Why Are Movies So Long Now?" And it's all around, obviously, Batman comes out next month. That's, I think, next week, actually. And do you know the running time of the Batman?
I don't, actually. I assume it's going to be near the 3-hour mark, isn't it?
It's 5 minutes shy of the 3-hour mark.
It's very long, isn't it? It's too long.
It's very long. And there was a thing here about why are movies getting so long now? Because it does seem... I mean, here we go. They got a couple of movies that came out last year. No Time to Die was 2 hours and 43. Spider-Man No Way Home, 2 hours 28. Dune, 2 hours 35. Eternals, 2 hours 37. The Last Duel, 2 hours and 32. It does seem like blockbusters... It's not always been a new thing. It does seem like blockbusters are getting longer these days. It does seem like there's more on the cutting... not left on the cutting floor, even like... Avengers Endgame was like 3 hours long. And it made me think about pacing, because I did ask you to like pick what you would consider like a couple of movies. I picked five. I don't know how you went. I didn't go like these are the best of all time, but I just thought like I wanted to find an example of does a movie's length affect its pacing? Because I thought about these long movies. And I thought, like, if I consider a movie, and I mean, like, because movies fluctuate, right, when you watch them. They're always, like, up and down. They're bits, yep. I mean, they have highs, and then they have, like, sometimes in the middle, mostly, where it drags a little bit, and you lose a little bit of interest. Even some of the the great movies ever made. And so I tried to find some movies, in my personal opinion, that I believe consistent, that follow a constant line. Probably not. Mm. Obviously, it's subjective. So I've got five. I don't know if you found any.
I thought about it. I didn't know we were making a list. I thought you said just think
like
about
random
it.
Ones. It's just like random ones. So I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna go like into too much detail. I'm just gonna say five movies.
Go on.
Back to the Future.
Yep.
Goodfellas.
Yep.
Alien.
Yep.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yep.
And 12 Angry Men. Now the 12 Angry Men is the smallest runtime. That's 97 minutes. And Goodfellas is the longest. It's 145 minutes. So I think, on average, it looks like if it's under 2 hours, it's a good pacing, is what I've kind of guesstimated. For me, at least, I think it's a good pace. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think 2 hours and 15 minutes is a good amount of time. I think if I see a movie that's on for close to 3 hours, I really have to be in the mood for it. And I think that does, it does put you off it. And it does also play with your patience a bit while you're watching it. You kind of go, oh, bloody hell, it's still going on. Yeah, I would say to have a movie on, like a Friday night movie or a Saturday night movie, that you just want to flick on and enjoy. You don't really want to do too much thinking. Especially these sort of movies, like Batman, for example, that's not really a movie where you're going into it you're wanting a bit of a lecture, is it? You kind of just want to be entertained. And I think 3 hours is a lot. The James Bond movies were kind of getting that way as well, weren't they? They were getting getting quite long. They were getting quite long. Harry Potter was another one that very, very long movies. But I suppose they had a lot to unravel with the books. But how long was the latest Star Wars, actually? The last one.
I don't know. I don't.
Rise of
Skywalker.
It didn't
feel long.
Let me find it. 2 hours and 22 minutes. Okay, so that's probably about right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably about right.
Average.
It's probably on the nose. Unfortunately, it wasn't a good movie, so that's probably why it probably didn't really satisfy you by the end of the 2 hours and 20 minutes, but that's probably about right for that sort of movie. You look at like the likes of Lord of the Rings. Surprised you didn't mention Lord of the Rings.
Well, I was just choosing like recent movies. That's what I was going with. But yeah, Lord of the Rings, they're like 3 hours long. And then you've got the extended versions, which I believe are 5 hours long.
Exactly. That's long. Like Return of the King, the final one, 3.5 hours long. Mm. That is a very long movie.
And while I love the movie, it's not got good pace.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think a lot of long movies do have good pace.
No, I can't. Like I said, Goodfellas, yeah. I think Goodfellas is just because it's that world. And then I tried to like think of like, well, what's the movie? Because there's two movies like Goodfellas. Wolf of Wall Street and Casino, right? They're close to 3 hours. I would say that even though I like those two movies, their pace isn't consistent. It does drop. There are moments in Wolf of Wall Street where it drops, where you think, oh, they could have ended it here. Same with Casino.
Yeah.
And I love those two movies.
I think Wolf of Wall Street, though, I liked Wolf of Wall Street in terms of its length. I think it told a lot. There was a lot to tell in the story. There was a lot of crazy scenes. There wasn't much crap. I actually think the pacing was okay. I think that movie's been ruined, though. That movie's been ruined by people that love that movie too much.
It's become a bit of a meme, hasn't it?
Yeah. For the people that work in stocks and shares, the brokers of this Canary Wharf City Boys, they've ruined that movie because they think they're living that movie. But you know, I think some people look at that movie and go, "He's my Jordan Belfort's my idol, man." But that is, you know, this guy was a fucking lunatic. That's as far as it goes. But yeah, I think that movie's been ruined. But it is a great movie. But I would disagree. I think the pacing is actually quite good in that movie.
I don't know. There's certain parts where that movie could have ended, and I would have been happy. No, I don't mean like in a bad way. I just think I would have been happy.
Yeah, I suppose. But it was the memoirs, wasn't it? You had to get through them. Love ups and downs in that movie. What about Uncut Gems? Uncut Gems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an uncomfortable movie, isn't it? So maybe that's why.
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
That's 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's nailed on the perfect time. That's perfect. It does feel longer, though, doesn't it? But I think the pacing of that movie is actually pretty good. I mean, that's probably about right. That's probably about right. But yeah, shall we move on to our main feature of the episode?
Didn't you have one to say, or you just want to... You're happy with my selection. You didn't have any movies.
I'm happy with your selection, yeah. Right, I didn't really write any down. I just thought about
just
it.
Just nodded.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, let's get into today's movie.
Go.
Walk hard, hard down life's lonesome road. Right, so this movie, Dewey Cox, Walk Hard, a Dewey Cox story, or the Dewey Cox story, sorry. Starring John C. Reilly. This is the first time you watched this movie. Mm-hmm. This is the, I'd say, probably the 10th or 11th time I've seen this movie. I want to know your thoughts, because I'm intrigued, because this is a movie that actually has aged really well from the first time I watched it until as recently as the other day when I watched it again. I loved it as much as I did the first time, if not more, actually. I almost loved it more because of how underappreciated it is. I was angry. I angrily loved this movie this time. What did you think of the movie? Go on. This could be our last episode based on what you say.
Okay. What I was going to say is this is a movie that you have to watch multiple times. It's a Apatow kind of... It's like Anchorman. It's like Wayne's World. This is a what you would call a cult movie. Like, this is the movie that you quote, and you were quoting it to me as I was watching it for the first time. You were sending me quotes.
Damn right.
And yeah, it's funny. There are hilarious bits. There are also bits where it drags, like most movies. In the middle, it does drag a little bit. But it is hilarious. It makes you laugh multiple times. It's ridiculous. And I think if you give me it to watch five more times, I will probably be on your level. Because it's my first time, I liked it. It's funny, but I don't love it like you love it because I've only seen it once.
I would say that the first half of this movie is incredible. The first half of this movie is the best of this movie. Like, it comes with a bang. Like, it's almost a laugh a minute for the first half an hour of this movie, I thought. It's so stupid. It's so silly, but it's great.
Yeah,
it's by and the original humor. Songs. Yeah, the humor's stupid, but it's great humor.
Yeah,
like just the obvious stuff, like, oh, there he is, my 14-year-old son, and then it's just John C. Reilly as he is in 2007, which is like late 30s.
Again, a piss take on all biopics because the young guy is always like 15 years old. They've got this 40-year-old man. Shoehorn did it. Or the great one at the start when the road manager goes, or the stage manager goes over to Dewey Cox, and he's leant up against the wall just looking down in thought. And his bandmate says Dewey Cox has to think about his whole life before he gets up on stage. Which is, again...
Dewey's got to think about his whole life before he gets on stage. It's just the way they say it, they're so serious as well. Tim Meadows in this movie is fucking sensational.
Yeah. You don't want to be any part of this.
The best scene. One of my favourite scenes in comedy history, actually. You don't want no part of this, Dewey. Get out of here. What you doing? We're smoking reefer. Oh, no. I don't want to get addicted. It's non-habit for me.
Or even like Kirsten Wiig, who even when he becomes super famous, she keeps telling him he's never going to make it. Again, that's that typical thing.
Never going to make it, do we?
Yeah, on the phone. Remember, you're never going to make it.
You're never gonna make it, do we? Yeah, it's that underdog story, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is great? They touch on so many. There's so many like fictional like parodies in this, like Buddy Holly. It just kind of goes through the years, doesn't it? It goes through the Bob Dylan years. Yeah. It goes through Elvis Presley,
which is I love. It might be my favorite quote from this movie that I might try and take on the more I see it is Jack White's version of Elvis Presley when he goes, "That's great. Karate. Only two people know that, the Chinese and the King, and one of them is me."
That is good. And it's surprising how good he was in that role.
It is.
He really got into that, didn't he? It was great. The cast of this, we have to talk about the supporting cast because it's one of the best casts ever in terms of cameos. Like, in terms of cameos, there are too many to name.
Oh, yeah.
And especially looking back now, like the likes of Jonah Hill playing his older brother. It's great. And then you've got Paul Rudd, Jack Black as the Beatles. You know?
With Justin Long and...
Justin Long, Jason Schwartzman as well.
Yeah, that's it.
It's great. It's just, and Jack Black playing Paul McCartney. I'm Paul McCartney. Of course, I'm the leader of the band. You know, just the way they interact with each other is fucking fantastic. Sounds like there's a little bit of a rift happening in the Beatles. I just love it. I love how obvious thing. I think that the running theme in terms of jokes is how everything's so obvious. You know, Everything's so like given to the audience. Like, don't fight here in India. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, I'm Dewey's 12-year-old girlfriend. It's Kristen Wiig. Like, fantastic.
It's just or even the great bit where the woman that she's like the June Carter character, where she said where there's this friction of sexual lust between them, and she says, I'm aching for a man's touch, and by a man's touch, I mean a penis in my vagina. Just something as crude and just obvious as that.
It's and then they created one of their duet, Darlene and Dewey Cox's duet in this movie. That is potentially one of the best songs of the movie, just because of how clever it is. There's so many good lines in that movie. What you doing, Dewey? I can't do this. We're not married. And then she's just that whole scene where she's kissing him and then she's slapping him and all that. It's just great. That's just such a funny scene. The dad as well. The dad. The wrong kid dad. That's just a great running joke in the movie. Also, when the mother dies, that's what your music does to people, Dewey. It kills people.
I'm cutting hair pretty bad, Dewey.
I'm cutting hair pretty bad, Dewey. You're going to have to be great for the both of us.
You're going to have to be extra great for the both of us. And they're just, it's that whole montage of them doing the most dangerous things they possibly can. Nothing bad's going to happen today. And then just like fucking with rattlesnakes and all sorts of shit.
Driving tractors, yeah. It's so good. It's so stupid, but so genius at the same time. I love the songs in this as well. I adore every song in this movie.
The Walk Hard song is really good. It did get nominated for a Golden Globe. I think it possibly could have got nominated for an Oscar. I think it's that good.
I think it's almost looked past how good it is because John C. Reilly sings all of the songs. A lot of the songs are written by Apatow, and I think John C. Reilly had a say in some. Maybe I think Walk Hard he wrote with them, but like even just the full length versions of like Guilty as Charged is great. This is a fucking dark period. just love that. It's just such a good. That's such a good bit. Yeah, the ups and downs are good. The running joke of pulling out the sink every time he has a little meltdown's great. The drug reference thing's great. It just consistently goes back to jokes and makes them even funnier as the movie goes on.
Well, yeah, it's repeat viewing. It's like Anchorman. But like Anchorman, you think of some of the jokes and you think, like, if you heard them for the first time, they're not hilarious, but the fact that you keep... It's a cult thing. You keep saying it to each other and it just becomes funnier and funnier. Like, I can imagine, like, to say to you, all you care about is fruit and touching yourself. Fuck you. You know, that is hilarious. That's hilarious. But you can imagine, like, to keep replaying that and re-saying that to each other is funny. You don't want any part of this. You know, even something as small as that.
Yeah, like, you just walk into the room and I'm there and I'm like, you don't want no part of this.
it's almost...
Give me that fucking...
The great thing about comedies, comedy movies or TV shows, it's like a secret handshake into a club. It's like if you go up to someone and go, you know, ooh, friend, you know exactly who this person is and you're like, yeah, I like you. It is like a secret handshake. Mm. You're part of our club.
It is. It's like, yeah, I feel like this is one of those movies as well. This is slept on in terms of the wider audience, but maybe I like that. Maybe that's something I really like about it, is that not everyone's seen this movie. This is a movie that I almost feel like I could personally promote and introduce people to, and they'd be like, this is great. Why have I never seen this movie? And it's because no one talks about this movie. But as we know, based on the tweet that I put out, it caused a reaction. A lot of people, it's one of those movies that people that love this movie, and they're like passionate about how good this movie is. And I think it's one of those, it's a proper cult one. And maybe that's why it's also so good as well, that people haven't ruined it. Anchorman is so overplayed and on all the time. It's on ITV2 every 5 minutes. This movie is, I haven't seen this movie on TV for ages. You have to pay for this movie to watch this movie.
There are so many. I mean, it's easy to see what did get lost in the shuffle, because 2007 was a good year for comedy. You had Superbad, you had Knocked Up, you had Hot Fuzz, you had Hot Rod. Juno, the Darjeeling Limited. There's a lot of really strong comedies that year. That is easy to forget some.
It is. Yeah, that was a strong year. I'm trying to look when, I mean, the top 10 in terms of movies gross, Pirates of the Caribbean came out, was the most gross movie that year. Harry Potter, Spider-Man, Shrek, Transformers, Ratatouille, I Am Legend. The Simpsons movie came out that year. This is kind of hard to believe that Simpsons movie came out in 2007.
I'm kind of glad that you've gone down this road early, because I actually, you're talking about grossing, and I actually had a little talk about grossing to you, because funny enough, while watching this movie, there was a YouTube video from someone that I follow who was talking about comedies these days, because he was talking about that Kirsten Wiig one, about them going to De La Vista. I can't remember what it's called. Do you know the one I mean?
De La Vista?
Yeah.
No.
Let me find it. I think it's called, like, is it Barbara and something? I had it in my head earlier on and it's gone.
This movie though was released.
Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. Barb and Vista.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the meant to be a hilarious movie, which is like a laugh a second, right? And it made me wonder, because when's the last, can you think of like the last, I had to look at on an American grossing list here of the last movie, last comedy to end up in the top 10 of gross. What do you reckon that movie was, and how long ago do you reckon it was?
To end up in the top 10?
In the top 10. Give you a clue. Go for it.
Go on. Give me a clue. No, wait, I'm going to take the clue now.
Well, it's not in this decade, and it's a movie you love, and it's an obvious movie when you think about it.
Superbad?
2012. I'll give you a clue. It's 2012.
Okay. A movie that I love in 2012. What came out in 2012? I'm just having a look to see where I am on ballpoint. I'm not cheating here, obviously. I'm not Googling.
That's fine.
Ah, This Is 40 came out that year. It wasn't that, was it?
No.
It was Project X?
No. Bigger than Ted.
Ted came out in
2012. I thought it was quite... Ninth, it finished, and it grossed about 218 million. Okay. Wow. You think 2011, finishing fourth, was The Hangover Part 2. That grossed $254 million. 2009, The Hangover finished ninth, grossed $277 million. 10th that year was 2006, sorry, Talladega Nights finished 10th with $148 million. Wedding Crashers 2005 finished 5th with $209 million. So I tried to look at the last comedy and what it grossed, right? So I excluded 2012, 2021, 2020 because obviously we had a pandemic, so I thought that was unfair to judge them. So enough, I went to 2019. I wasn't too sure. The first one I found was Good Boys. I've never seen it. Is it? Would you say that is this kind of comedy or not?
Not this kind of comedy.
Well, I have three examples because they were only three I could find. So 34th, this grossed at number 34. Good Boys, $83 million. At 39th, you had a Madea Family Funeral, which grossed $73 million. And at 63rd, you had Playing with Fire, which grossed $44 million. That's such a drop.
That is a massive drop, yeah.
What's happening with comedies? Why are they not grossing so much anymore?
Are comedies dying? Are comedies dying out in terms of mainstream audience? Because I think you're right. There hasn't been hype like there was around The Hangover.
Yeah.
In a comedy
or
movie.
Ted, I remember such Ted, a hype when that came out.
Yeah, I can't quite put my finger on why that would be. There seems to be, I don't know, maybe there is a budget thing in terms of big comedy movies. A lot of promo was spent on The Hangover, for example. Mm-hmm. A lot of promo was spent on Ted. A lot of money was probably spent on Ted as well. I don't know how much it actually cost to make, but maybe that's why. Maybe the budgets are going into more action, bigger wins in terms of Marvel. A lot of people putting their money in Marvel's corner, aren't they? Because that's where all the big bucks are made. And I suppose when you think about a movie that you want to go and watch in cinema, maybe the pandemic has played a part in that people don't go to cinema as much as they used to. Before the pandemic, I think cinemas used to be a lot more full than they are now. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't have stats to back this up, but just from my personal perspective, they feel emptier than they did before. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe people go to cinema and they want to watch a blockbuster movie rather than just a comedy, that they could just wait until a comedy comes out on streaming.
Or maybe it is because of streaming. Maybe that's another reason. Maybe
more comedies are going to streaming.
More comedies are going there. TV shows as well. You know, maybe that's a part of it. But I thought that was such a massive gap. And it did get me thinking, like, a movie like this, I mean, if we can extract comedy and let's just say instead of like a Marvel movie, which is funny, or a drama, which is funny, you know, talk about like a pure comedy, which is like a ridiculous comedy.
Yeah.
What was the last great one? And that is
hard off the top of my head.
Really hard. That is really hard. I can't think of one last year or prior to that. Like, I'm talking great. Like, you can really say this is great, not just like a personal favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, like a proper mainstream comedy that everyone loved, not just the box office but also the critics. No, I don't think there really was one last year. I don't think there was one last year, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm looking at the list of top comedies last year and it's not looking good. I'm not a big fan of Kingsman has been included in that, but would you say that's just an out-and-out comedy?
That's an action movie.
I would say.
It's like saying Three Billboards. Movie. It's a drama, but it's hilarious, but it's, I wouldn't say it's a comedy.
Yeah. Or, I've gone blank. Or Deadpool.
Yeah.
You say that's or, a superhero or the Martian. Movie that tries to, Yeah. They're not comedies, are they? No, there hasn't. Maybe that's, come on, we need the big comedies to hit the screens. Jackass. Would you put that in there?
I think
a lot of money.
I think Jackass is again. I think it's doing well. It's that's something which is like people have been like crying out for a Jackass movie. Something as simple as that. I don't know. Could you count? I don't know really what you can count Jackass as. Is it a comedy or is it?
It's a comedy.
Is it
a
documentary?
A
I don't know. You know, because
it's not a documentary.
Well, it is in a way, isn't it?
It's real. That's
it's real.
It's,
yeah,
it's a comedy. It's a comedy.
It's not staged. Because they're trying... Even a lot of documentaries are staged.
No, but there are skits, aren't there? A lot of it is skits, which are obviously intended to be funny. So it would have to go down as a comedy because everything they're doing is for humorous outcomes. You know, I don't think there's no science experiments going on here. Well, this is pure.
You say that, but some of them are scientific, aren't they?
Yeah,
a man
snorting
wasabi is scientific.
It is a little bit, but it's also, you know, to see what happens after. Everything's to see what happens. It'd be in the genre of let's see what happens, you know. Let's see how far we can push this insurance budget on a movie. It's that sort of thing. It says here, reality slapstick comedy. So we'd say that's comedy.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet, so we don't know where
it falls. I haven't seen it yet. But I'm pretty sure it's probably going to gross a lot this year.
Is
so
it
maybe...
going to gross into the top 10, though?
Maybe. You don't know. There's a lot of big movies this year.
There's a lot of big franchises.
I'm going to see it this week just to put it in there a little bit more. Just to do my bit.
Do your bit.
Just to do my bit. I do want to see this movie anyway, but just, yeah. Yeah, I think it would be good. This is like what... I mean, I think when the last one came out, I don't know if I was 18 when the last Jackass came out. When was it? Jackass... Is this the third one? Or is this the fourth one?
They've had... It's hard because haven't they had like 2.5, 3.5 and like...
Yeah.
Little additions.
3D.
3D, yeah.
3D was... Yeah, so that came out in 2010, which was... 11 years ago. So, yeah, I was just short of going to be able to see it, actually. Just a little bit short of seeing it. I would have been about 17 when that came out. So, yeah, this would be the first one I'd be able to see in the cinema. So, I'm going to go do that. I should go do that.
It'll be a riot a minute.
I think it'll be good. I've heard good things. So
I have.
We'll
I have heard about the ball sequence, which sounds... Just queasy. It just sounds like you're just going to be quenching and going, oh no, don't do that. But that's what they always do to us.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what they always do to us. But that's what we go there to see. We go there to see them do fucking crazy shit, man. That's what we see, man.
In the comfort of our own safety.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There is a running theme. You were talking about Sam Levinson, and the director of this, Jake Kazan, is the son of Lawrence Kazan, who was a quite well-known filmmaker. He wrote the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
He directed some interesting movies, Dreamcatcher, which I'm pretty sure not a lot of people are going to be saying, oh, Dreamcatcher's a great movie, but I like it.
That's a good movie. That is a very good movie.
I think it's underrated.
I think Jake Kazan, though, he has gone on to do a few big time movies. Like Jumanji is a big time movie.
A very good movie.
He did Sex Tape. He did Bad Teacher, big movies. And then before that, he did Orange County, which me and you both like that movie. Colin Hanks and Jack Black.
Yeah,
that's a great movie. Yeah, and then he obviously went on and did this.
It's strange.
Which I love.
It's strange. This movie. It's not talked about so much because when you look at it, Rotten Tomatoes, it had 74%, so it's certified fresh. Roger Ebert gave it a 3 out of 4 stars. He wrote...
That's pretty good.
He wrote, instead of sending everything over the top at high energy like Top Secret or Airplane, they allow Riley to more or less actually play the character so that against all expectations, some scenes actually approach real sentiment. I think that's true. I think this movie heavily relies on John C. Reilly. I think he is the glue that keeps it all together.
Yes, yes. He is sensational in this movie. He really is. He does everything you need him to do. He completely steals the show in this movie. Do you know he said he was worried, weren't he, about he was worried that his singing actually would have damaged the movie. Because he was singing on it. He thought he may have damaged the movie.
What is that?
I don't know. Maybe he just didn't believe that people would want to hear him sing. And maybe they'd want someone else to sing his bits for him. You know, and then he would mime.
I, even though it would be funny, I do just think it just adds more to the character that he sings.
Yeah. It adds way more to the character that he sings. It perfectly rounds it up. And he is perfect for this role. I couldn't think of anyone else who could have played this role, actually.
Maybe Joaquin Phoenix, because
Phoenix.
This is heavily influenced by Walk the Line, isn't it?
Well, that's two on the nose then if he plays the role, isn't it? It's way too on the
nose. It would be funny, though, wouldn't it?
It would be funny. I cannot lie, it would be funny. But, no, I can't think of anyone else who could do this role. You could easily argue Will Ferrell, but no, I don't think he'd do this justice.
I think there's a level that John C. Reilly fits looking like a rock star. I don't think Will Ferrell looks like a rock star or a country singer. No. I don't think he would have played that well.
No. I think you may disagree with me here.
Go for it.
I think Dewey Cox, the character, is better than Ron Burgundy's character.
I do disagree with you. but at an unfair advantage, because I've seen Anchorman too many times and Dewey Cox only once. So it's hard for me to...
That may be why.
Yeah, I'd say that at unfair advantage, I disagree. It's your choice.
But I don't think this isn't the only movie of this kind that is underrated. There's another movie that Will Ferrell did that is, I think, underrated, which is Semi-Pro.
I thought you were going to say Eurovision.
No. Semi-Pro, the basketball movie.
Right. That's the one with Jackie. The bear that really killed its trainer. Yeah,
with Woody Harrelson, and he plays the character of Jackie Moon. I think the Jackie Moon character is actually brilliant. I think that is a really good movie. But it didn't do well in the box office, and it didn't do well critically. So why do I love it? I don't know. There's something about it.
All movies are like that. There's some movies out there that nobody seems to like, but you find it hilarious. Grown Ups. Grown Ups is a movie that nobody seems to say anything great about it. It's terrible. It's not funny. It's just Adam Sandler making a movie with his friends. And I think that's why I like it. It feels like I'm actually hanging around people who actually like each other. How many times do they have a movie where they've got like a reunion and it feels like they've met each other for the first time? This one, they feel like friends because they are friends.
Yeah, they do.
And that's why I like it.
They do feel like friends. They do feel like friends. Everything is well connected. Yeah, everyone does feel like they're having the time of their lives on the movie, and it just feels like they're just having fun. I think that is a big part of it.
Yeah. And I think having fun on camera, if it works well, like in Grown Ups, you have fun too.
Yeah, you do. You do. You. It's kind of infectious, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The way that they're enjoying the movie as much as you are. It plays a massive role. If you know that people loved making the movie, it's the same with a TV show. It's the same with anything, isn't it? Like a reality show, whatever. If they're having fun, then you're having fun.
And this one felt like they were all having fun on Walk Hard. It did feel like everybody kind of was allowed to be free and to be ridiculous. Yeah. And I always think comedy is great when it is ridiculous, when you can just kind of have people like the Beatles. I mean, you got four actors there who nowhere in hell would they ever be cast as the Beatles. If you ever went through a list of people to cast as the Beatles, even Jack White looks nothing like Elvis Presley. The only one that might look similar is Frankie Muniz as Buddy Holly.
It's Buddy Holly. I was going to say he doesn't. I was going to say that's another stupid one. I think appearance-wise, but the personality-wise is terrible. Imagine him leading a movie as Buddy Holly.
Yeah,
it just wouldn't work, would it?
Wouldn't work.
I do love that he was in there. I think you. I can't remember what line he says, but it's another one of the stupid jokes. So he's like, "I think you'll do great, Dewey, if my name isn't Buddy Holly." Something like that. I just love that he just tells you he's Buddy Holly. Oh, watch out, man! Watch out, man! Love Jack White. Jack White was great in that. Oscar worthy, in my opinion.
He's only in the movie for like 20 seconds.
And he steals the show. He absolutely steals the show.
He has one of the great lines.
Man. Why'd you have to go and get the crowd riled up, man? He was trying to give him a compliment. What'd you say? He was fuming. I loved that. I loved that little bit. Where does this movie fit into your good, bad, or WTF?
It's good because it made me laugh. It made me chuckle throughout the whole thing.
I put it in a special category that I've created just for this episode called Godly.
Godly.
It goes into the godly category, which is above all else, it looks down on us. We will never be able to reach the heights of Dewey Cox.
The fact that they
kill him off at the end as well is also just a brilliant. 3 minutes after this show ended, he had a heart attack and died. Just great. Just put a full stop in it. Done. No more Dewey Cox.
It is true,
we'll
though.
Do one movie.
It is true, because it's weird. As soon as someone does a biopic of someone, they die the next year.
Mm.
Like Ray Charles.
They do. Yeah. Was it based on Ray Charles losing his sense of smell? Was that the...
Yeah.
Was that the...
Who, yeah.
It was Ray Charles, wasn't it? Yeah, he lost his sense of smell.
I can smell!
It's so clever. It's very, very clever. But yeah. It goes into the godly tier for me. Well, I'm glad you put it in the good. We can do another episode. And we will do another episode.
The goodly tier.
And you get to select a movie.
Yeah, my movie. So we're going straight into that. Nothing to add. No top fives or anything.
No top fives today. We did one at the beginning. We don't want to overkill it.
Yeah. Well, I did a top five. I didn't really do a top five. I just named five. But my next movie, I decided to pick a movie I've never seen before, but I've always wanted to see. It's called Dead Presidents. It's from the Hughes brothers, who this was the movie they did after Menace to Society. And it's about a Vietnam vet who adjusts to life after the war while trying to support his family, but the chance of a better life might involve crime and bloodshed. This is from 1995. Stars Laurence Tate, Keith David, Chris Tucker, Freddie Rodriguez. You can find it on Starplay or Disney Plus, which we have. It's kind of like a heist crime movie. I want to say I really love Menace to Society. I think it's a great movie, and I've always wanted to see Dead Presidents. It's meant to be one of the, like probably Walk Hard, it's meant to be a movie that is great that nobody talks about. So I wanted to test that and see just how great it is.
I love that. This is a good selection. This is on Disney Plus as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Or Starplay if you haven't got. Is it Starplay or is it Star? What's it called?
I think it's called Five Star, isn't
Five
it? Five
Star,
Star
or something
like that.
Star, whatever.
Something like that.
But if you've got Disney Plus
whatever
and you've got Star, you're going to find it.
Yeah, this is a good selection. I've always wanted to see this movie as well. This is a proper cult classic as well. We're going from one cult classic to another cult classic. Oh yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about this movie, but I've never seen it. It's never been on either. This seems like the movie that would just be on at like 1 a.m. on like Film 4 or like Channel 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Or Channel 5. It would just catch you off guard and you'd be like, oh, what's this? And you'd watch it. But it does look good. It looks very
intriguing. Grab me.
Yeah. Alright, that'd be good to watch.
So
we'll get into that. Dead Presidents. Lovely. We go from dead musicians to dead presidents.
He only died at the end.
This is also... Yeah, he dies at the end. This is a movie as well that a lot of people have actually had in songs, haven't they? A lot of people have included, name-dropped this movie in songs. Yeah. A lot of hip-hop artists have name-dropped this movie. I've heard it a few times. I've definitely heard it a few times.
Have you ever seen Menace to Society?
I think that might be
on Disney Plus as well. That also stars Laurence Tate.
No, I don't think I have seen it. No, I haven't seen that. Because I was thinking of Juice. Juice is great.
I've never seen it. But I tell you a film...
You've never seen Juice?
No, I tell you a film I've always wanted to see. This is another one that hopefully one day we'll find. Which is Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
That is a good... Yeah, I've seen that movie, but a very, very long time ago. But that's another classic as well.
Well, the scene in that where here you go, I'll suck your dick. You know that scene. That yeah. is from Menace to Society.
Okay.
When he wants something, the junkie says, I'll suck your dick, man. And he just shoots him.
Yeah, that's I'll probably know what parodies that movie. I didn't really. There were some things that I didn't pick up on, some notes, some references that I didn't pick up on when I first watched Menace. In what's it called?
Don't be a menace.
What's it called? That's it. Don't be a menace while riding around Southside.
South Central.
What's the rest? South Central. What's the rest?
I've got to find it now. I closed it.
It's fucking long, isn't it? Don't. There you go. Don't be a menace to South. Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. I love that they just called it that.
There was another one the Wayans brothers did.
That's on Netflix.
Which was the same long title, but it was about horror movies. Mm. What the fuck was that called?
Horror movies.
It was a horror movie spoof with the same long title. Well, like Ghostface is in the title.
Was that not just the original title of Scary Movie? Was that not just...
No, it's a spoof of like slasher movies, but they had a long title like the Don't Be a Menace one.
I'm going to try and find it now.
I'm trying to find it right now because it's going to bug me. Long movie titles.
It doesn't seem to come up for me, I'll be honest.
It's so long. It was so ridiculously long. It's annoying me that we can't find this thing.
Hey, we'll come up with it. We'll find it. We'll find it next time. We'll definitely find it next time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, because I can't find it either. But we're not going to spend our time doing that anyway.
No, we can't. We can't have an hour of silence on this while we try and find a movie that we go click and clack. Oh, that was just a dream I had. Actually, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're clicking and clacking. Right. Remember, everyone, walk hard, hard down life's lonesome road. Goodbye.
Bye bye.